Welcome to Puentes, Bridges to the Community. Hello, I'm your host, Emily Guerra. My guest on this edition is New Mexico State University Cooperative Extension Service Coordinator for ICANN, Ideas for Cooking and Nutrition, Carrie Bachman, to tell us about an effort to save Tortugas Mountain. Thank you for joining me on Puentes.
Thanks for having me, Emily. It's great to be here.
First of all, what is Tortugas Mountain?
Tortugas Mountain is really an icon in our community. If you're in the Mesilla Valley and you're looking towards the east to our beautiful Oregon Mountains, it's the mountain that you'll see with a big A on it. And sometimes we call it A Mountain. But it's also called Tortugas Mountain because it has the shape of a turtle or a tortoise, tortuga. And that's the mountain that a group of us is trying to make sure is not developed by commercial developers.
Just like an effort that was done to save the Oregon Mountains?
Yeah, it's sort of similar to that, Emily. That effort actually got a national monument in place. What we're doing is a little less ambitious, perhaps, but I think quite important. We're really trying to keep the area around the base of Tortugas Mountain free from development.
And why is it important?
Wow, you know, you ask any person in the valley here and they'll give you a different answer. And that's part of the reason that it is important. It means so many different things to so many different people. I happen to work in nutrition education, and to me it's important because it's right near Centennial High School. And we want to keep that area free from commercial development if we can, because that way the students are likely to eat healthier meals. So that's my personal, I should say professional interest. But many people are interested because they are pilgrims who go to the top of Tortugas Mountain every year for the pilgrimage. Some people like to mountain bike and hike, enjoy nature, enjoy the stargazing. You know, there are all kinds of reasons that Tortugas Mountain is important to us here in the valley.
And for Tortugas, which is the community near Mesilla Park, once a year there's a procession by the Tortugas Pueblo to go up to A Mountain.
Well, you know, that procession is widely known around the world. In fact, people come from around the world to participate in that procession. It's the second largest Virgen de Guadalupe procession next to the one in Mexico City. So it really is quite important culturally, not just here, but for people around the world. And this happens in December every year. There are thousands of people who make the trek either from the village of Tortugas or from the base of the mountain, and they walk up. And it's really a pilgrimage. For many people, it's something that they do as a thank you for prayers that have been answered, or as a way to pray to God for help with sick loved ones or problems that they're having themselves. So it's a very spiritual experience, and the mountain is very important as a part of that experience.
And how long has this effort been that you've been trying to save Tortugas Mountain?
Well, you know, we probably wouldn't be trying to save the mountain if there weren't a threat to the mountain. And in fact, since October of 2012, there has been a landowner who's right to the west side of the mountain, that's to the valley side, and they own a small sort of triangular parcel, and they've been trying to get the county to agree to zone that parcel commercial so that they can build a retail development there. It would be sort of shops and stores and that type of thing with parking and driving and that kind of thing. And it would be right at the foot of the mountain, just 500 feet, in fact, from the parking area to the day use area. If you're familiar, if you ever go hiking on the mountain, on the west side, there's a little area where you can park and then walk up the mountain. It would be just to the west of that.
What was the outcome of a recent meeting you just had?
So the most recent meeting that we had here in July was a meeting of the Extraterritorial Zoning Authority, the ETZA. And that is a quasi-judicial body made up of people who are county commissioners and city councilors, because it's in this area that we call the ETZ, the Extraterritorial Zone, which is sort of at the outer edge of the city, but it's in the county. So it's sort of interest to both areas. And that makes it a little bit tricky. Anyway, this is the board or the authority that listens to petitions by landowners who want to change their zoning. So, in fact, we just had a recent meeting, and many of us worked very hard to prepare for that meeting to provide arguments as to why this zoning request should not move forward. And we were actually successful. We were able, at least for now, to ensure that there will not be any development at the foot of the mountain. So we're very excited about that.
And for how long do you think you'll be able to hold them back from developing?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question. I don't want to make it sound as if the landowners are people who are trying to do bad. I mean, what they're trying to do is actually get some return from their investment on that land. What we feel as a community and community members is that there are better places for the type of development that they're looking at, and there are better uses for that land. And so it's hard to say exactly how long it might be before there's another petition or another movement to try to get that land zoned so that it could be commercially developed. Sometimes 3-6 months, but we have a group of us who's been working on this for, like I say, almost the last 2 years that is sort of continually ready to mobilize and to publicize the effort so that we're constantly making new people aware. We get petitions signed. We have a Facebook page, in fact. You're welcome to visit it. If you just go onto Facebook and search for Tortugas Mountain, you will find it there. And that's where you can kind of keep track of what's going on in future meetings, how you can get involved in the effort.
And how can people get involved?
Well, you know, the most obvious way is to show up when there's a public meeting, and we definitely want people to be able to do that. Every meeting we have, there are new people who show up, and they always have different stories. You know, I have my own personal stories. You would have your stories of perhaps times that you've gone up the mountain, or memories that you have of the sun rising over the mountain, or, you know, different things. I mean, everybody has a personal, spiritual, emotional attachment to that mountain. And that's what's powerful, is when policymakers hear the importance of the mountain to the community. It is something that defines Las Cruces. It defines our culture here. It's interesting because it's not a place that's entirely rural or entirely wild. There are remnants of observatories, and there's an altar on the top, and there's the A on the side of the mountain. You know, so there are things that have been touched by human hands, and that's part of what makes it a special place, actually, and so complicated.
Well, the A also represents Aggies for New Mexico State University.
Yes, it does. And, you know, being that we're here at New Mexico State, a lot of the students do see that as something that matters to them. Some people in the community see the A on the side of the mountain as something that sort of spoils the wildness of the mountain. So people have differing perspectives. But what I think that shows us is how important the mountain is. We don't all have to agree on what it should be like, but I think many of us agree that we want to save it from development at the base of it, or particularly on top of it either.
And so what are some of the possible solutions to save Tortugas Mountain?
You know, it's a really good question, and that's what is a struggle. And to be honest, that's what our policymakers are struggling with as well. How do you save something that's so important, but that is actually owned or under jurisdiction of various entities? So the mountain itself, interestingly, the eastern side of it is owned by Bureau of Land Management, BLM. The western side, the side that is closer to the valley, is actually owned by New Mexico State University. And then you have this little triangle of land, which is the piece in question, which is owned by private property owners. And then, of course, you've got Farm and Ranch Heritage Museum right there. You've got other sand and gravel mines. You've got the high school. You've got a lot of different interests. And then you have the public, of course, and people who live in neighborhoods that are nearby. How do you bring all of those stakeholders together and come to a decision? You know, you're not going to necessarily make everybody happy, but how do you sort of negotiate those things? And that's what's challenging. I think the county and the city, to their credit, are really struggling with those issues, not just in this situation, but more broadly as well. You know, we have comprehensive plans, we have unified codes that are attempts to kind of look at things beyond just the zoning for one parcel. The challenge is, for example, our comprehensive plan was created 10 years ago. It's a plan that was meant to go from 2000 to 2020. We're sort of 14 years in, and obviously we all know that it needs to be modified, and it's being modified, but it's not done yet. So the question is, what do you do in the meantime? You know, you have a property owner who, and rightly so, wants to know what they can do with their property. Just so folks know, that land has been traditionally mined for sand and gravel since the 1940s, and it's land that the property owner who owns it now, they've owned it since 2005. But before that, they actually leased it. They had permission from the Bureau of Land Management to do sand and gravel mining. And so that's sort of been the traditional use. It's sort of sat without mining on it for a while now. And if you drive by, you're not going to see any trucks or vehicles or mining activity on that side of Dripping Springs Road. But that's really what the current use is that's allowed for it. But what they're seeking to do is change the zoning, which would enable them to use the land for another purpose. And that's where sort of the controversy and the discussion has come in, because there are people like us who think that that's really not the best use of it. Now, I can tell you from my perspective, there are a couple of different things that could happen that I think would be beneficial. Number one, and several members of the authority in the meeting said this loud and clear, and I was glad to hear it, they really want to see more planning done on a larger basis so we can really look at areas like this that matter to us. Let's take a look at the area at the foot of the Oregon Mountains that includes Tortugas Mountain. What are we going to do with that? Let's look at it with all stakeholders involved and have some planning that happens instead of just looking at things from a single parcel perspective. Because what happens in that case is you run the risk of, let's say one of the bodies decides, okay, we're going to change the zoning there and we're going to go ahead and let them put in a shopping center or some development of some kind. What that does then is that sets a precedent and other land nearby can then say, well, this is already appropriate. We already have this use nearby. Let us do the same thing. And it sort of becomes a domino effect. So we're very concerned, obviously, about that. You know we can't stop development. We don't want to stop all development, but there is a proper place for development. And that's what we're trying to educate people about and work with policymakers on.
So if this development was to go in, how would it affect the use of it currently?
Well, you know, that's a matter of much debate. And I think that's where you find the sort of emotions kind of get heated. What you'll hear from landowners and from the county who's arguing their perspective is that it wouldn't affect those uses at all. Now, if you talk to people like me and many people in the community, we would beg to differ on that. And I think people have different perspectives, and that's fine. You know, some people may think, oh, it doesn't matter if there's something at the foot of that mountain. But others who make the procession, a religious procession that's important to them, don't want to see retail development right in their face as they're walking up the mountain and looking down on it as they're traversing the mountain either. Those people who are mountain biking don't want to necessarily have an opportunity to buy a soda at the foot of the mountain when they're done. I mean, they generally take water bottles with them. So you can see, I mean, it's a matter of perspective. Some people have said we should view this as the gateway to the Oregon Mountains because now that we have a national monument, Dripping Springs Road really is the gateway. And that's an important sort of precedent setting development. If that were to go in there, you know, that sort of sets the tone. And that's a tone that many of us in the community don't feel should be set.
It's not part of the Oregon Mountains then?
Well, it's not part of the National Monument. And if you talk to the folks who are working on that and some of our legislators, they would like to see perhaps Tortugas Mountain included in the future. But at the moment, it's not. And that's where it becomes ever more important that community members be vigilant about saving those areas that they feel are important. You know, we can't just sit back and say, oh, we've got the monument, everything's okay. We need to think about planning and what we want to see in the rest of the valley as well.
So all of this started when there was development with Sonoma Ranch and the schools.
Well, if you've lived in the valley for the past couple of years, you may remember we've been looking to build a new high school for a while, and there was a lot of discussion. Where should that high school go? I mean, it was sort of like nobody could find a good place for it. And in the end, Las Cruces Public Schools, because they have the ability to decide where they're going to site their schools, they decided to put it out there. There were people who said, really, that's a moonscape. That's an inappropriate place for a high school. You know, we didn't even have a paved road there. If you recall, Sonoma Ranch Boulevard, before the high school was built, was not even paved at that point. So Loman did not connect with a paved road to Dripping Springs Road. So once the high school was in the process of being built, they started paving the road, which of course then, if you listen to people who follow things like schools and sort of development, one of the famous sayings is schools are engines of sprawl. Wherever you build a school, you're going to see more development. So you can imagine right now we don't have any other development along Sonoma Ranch Boulevard, but there could be pressures to put development there. And certainly once that school went in, that's interestingly when this landowner, whether it's tied to that or not, I don't know, but that's about the time that they decided they were interested in another use for that property.
And how far is it from the school?
Good question. You know, the school campus obviously is larger than the buildings. It's depending on whether you look at how the crow flies or how a car or a person walks, it's about a third to a half of a mile. It's very close. So students, even if they don't have vehicles, would actually be able to walk over to that development easily during their lunch period, get something to eat, walk back onto campus. And that's something that we feel, you know, we really want to make sure that students have healthy food options for school. And that's one of the reasons that I'm involved in this effort, is to make sure that we don't get those kinds of unhealthy food options being located so close to this new school where there aren't any right now.
So what do you see the future then of Tortugas Mountain?
Well, I see a bright future for it, to be honest. The more we talk about this in the community, the more people realize what a hidden treasure it is. You know, those of us who work here on campus, we can actually walk or bike or run to Tortugas Mountain on our lunch hour. It's really close by. And as Las Cruces gets more developed, as the city, you know, sort of extends its boundaries and we see more development over broader parts of the county as well, outside the city limits, people are going to be looking and hungering even more for a place to go for refuge. And that's what Tortugas Mountain is. You talk to a lot of students, to faculty members, to people who live all over the valley. They actually go there to mountain bike, to hike, to just, you know, be with nature. It may look on the surface, if you're just driving by, like it's just sort of a big brown rock, but there's all kinds of life out there. I drive by the mountain every day, and with the rains we've been having, you can start to see a little bit of green color just appearing on the sides of the mountains. It's absolutely beautiful. It changes with the seasons. You can see all kinds of wildlife. You can see tarantulas, you can see centipedes, rabbits, obviously, all the kinds of normal wildlife that we see here in the valley and up in the Oregon Mountains. It's all there. And it's right in our backyard. If you've ever been to Phoenix and you've seen Camelback Mountain, that's kind of the way Camelback is for people in Phoenix. And how important that place is, how many people hike that? You know, that's what Tortugas Mountain means here, and it's going to be even more important as the community gets larger.
And what about the Pueblo of Tortugas? How are they involved with the mountain?
Well, you know, of course, they're very spiritually involved with the mountain and make the procession. And in fact, they have special dispensation from Bureau of Land Management to make that procession and to be able to access private property on their way up there, which is wonderful. And usually the Pueblo, or the corporation as they're called, doesn't like to be very out in front on issues like this. But in this case, I think it's been quite interesting. They've actually come to, representatives from the corporation have come to the public meetings. They've spoken. They've actually issued a written statement that they oppose development around the mountain, at the base of the mountain, because it would negatively affect the experience of their parishioners, of the pilgrims who go up to the mountain each year. And you know, it's not just that one time of year that people go. We were actually up on the mountain Easter weekend, and we saw a whole group of students. It was quite remarkable, from the Catholic high school, and they were up there singing with their teachers, and it was on a weekend day. They had made a special field trip. So, you know, it really is a remarkable place. I urge any of you who've not been up there, give it a try. You'll meet people in the community who you know. You'll make new friends. On that same trip down, we actually saw a young boy who was so excited to be on the mountain. He was probably 5 or 6 with his grandmother, and he was leading her up the mountain. So it's really a beautiful place for people of all ages, all backgrounds, to get out of town, get out from their living rooms and from behind the screens that they're constantly in touch with, and get a little bit of nature.
If there was development there, you wouldn't have that feeling of being in nature.
You know, I don't think you would. And that's my perspective, and it's shared by many others. You would have the hum of the refrigerated air and the cooling systems, and you'd have the cars pulling in and out of the parking lot. You would have the noise, the music of these establishments. At night, you would have light pollution. And yes, of course, we have nighttime light ordinances here in the county, but you still will have pollution there from light. I mean, I happen to live nearby new retail development, and it definitely is polluting the nighttime sky. So, you know, you will see a number of changes. And the other thing that you'll see is it is about 600 feet, a little less than 600 feet away from the base of the mountain. Now, that sounds pretty far, but think about here in New Mexico, we don't have trees to block things. We don't have in that area large rocks or other natural formations that are going to block the view of that. When you're on the mountain, you are going to be right above that development, and noise travels upward. So if you've ever been in Phoenix on Camelback, it it's amazingly noisy because you've got all that development right around it. That is not the case with Tortugas right now, and we want to keep it that way.
So if people want to get involved with this effort, who do they contact?
Well, they can certainly contact me. People can call me at my cell phone number, 575-496-4330, and I can definitely get you connected. You can get involved in a number of ways. One of the things that we're constantly doing is working with people to spread the word in the community. So talking to different groups, collecting petitions, and then of course, when we do have a public meeting come up, we like to have people come and speak at those meetings. We get together and strategize about how can we make this a broad-based community effort. It's not just people who are like-minded like me. It's not just people with a nutrition background. It's not just the mountain biking community. It's not just retirees who like to go and sit at the picnic tables and talk. It's not just people who stargaze. It's not just the native plant lovers. It's not just people from New Mexico State University. It's all of us. And that's part of the beauty of the effort. We've really seen community members come around, galvanize around this issue. And I think that's one of the benefits of living in a democracy. We owe it to ourselves to take advantage of the ability to get together and work for change that we want.
So to get involved in this effort, working to save the Tortugas Mountain, you can contact Carrie Bachman. Thank you for joining me on Puentes on this special effort to save Tortugas Mountain. Carrie Bachman, coordinator for ICANN, Ideas for Cooking and Nutrition, New Mexico State University Cooperative Extension Service. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Emily.
You're welcome. For KRWG, I'm Emily Guerra.